podcast where humans are uniquely special.
I am Kayla O'Connor. I am a founder of Camo House, where humans are uniquely special. I believe that how we feel at work matters and how we feel in our life matters. And this podcast is dedicated to the unique humans who have courageously lived and are living their life their own unique way, regardless of shoulds, regardless of conditioning. And they are taking a step towards feeling better, towards joy, towards peace, towards success, without proof, just with trust and an inner knowing. So sit back. I hope you enjoy. The purpose is to expand your perspective and give you hope for what's possible. I'm immensely grateful that you are here. Enjoy this episode.
Thanks for taking time out of your very, very busy schedule and just like having a chat with me. I know we've worked together, but we haven't done like a non-work chat before. And so I'm excited to get to know you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. This is a very welcome break in this crazy week. We're at work, we're switching CMSs and it's a nightmare.
First of all, okay, we'll get back to that. You know, I love to ask questions, but just however you want, like who's Mia, however you want to explain who Mia is, would love for it to come from your words.
Oh my gosh. That's like such a loaded question, right? I'm so used to attaching my identity as a person to like my career. So I can start there. I'm a commerce editor. I currently work at the Daily Beast for their lifestyle and shopping vertical, which is called Scouted. Yeah, that's kind of like the career part. I've been in this almost a decade now, like specifically in the affiliate space. But I mean, I'd like to think that Mia is not just her job. I have a little cat. I have, I actually have 8 animals and, it's a zoo over here. So I split my time between, I live in Austin, but I like to say I split my time between there and LA because I'm back there pretty often. That was a really bad answer.
No, it wasn't. I want to know all the animals that you have because if I remember correctly, you have a dog named Sweater, right?
Yes. He's a big pit, but he's like the sweetest boy. We have another pit mix named Magic. He's currently inside right now because he's the dog that doesn't bark, so I bring him in when I need to do these kinds of things. And then we have Slinky, and she's like a dachshund maybe / corgi, I don't know, TBD. I just submitted her little DNA test. We have Bellatrix. Sorry, this is gonna take the entire podcast.
Honestly, these are the best animal names ever.
Thank you. I can't take credit for them. I'm technically stepmom, so that I came into them. So they already had these names, but I agree, they are wonderful. I have my little black cat named Spencer. He came with that name and I just kept it. But he's like the love of my life. My husband's great too, but
yeah, right. I resonate with that a lot. Oh my gosh. Okay. Beautiful. Did we miss any animals?
Oh yes, we miss Luna. It's so funny because like about a year ago, she swallowed some chocolate protein powder, and it's okay, that's not funny. The funny part was that my husband could remember what breed she was when I was talking to the vet online, trying to figure out if it was truly an emergency. Spoiler alert, it was not, because there wasn't real chocolate in the protein powder. Thank God.
like cow, cow, cow or something.
Yeah, exactly. Also, by the way, I didn't grow up with dogs. This is like, I went from never having a dog in my life to having five of them, and they're mostly big dogs. So that's another little tidbit. So I'm always learning. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like,
right.
You know, I'm adjusting still after 3 years.
You're adjusting. Oh my gosh. And I don't think and it's okay, we don't have to go down this road, but I don't think we've ever talked human design with like together. Do you know your energy type or authority or profile or anything of that sort?
No, but I would love to know more about that. I'm like, I feel like I've seen on your Instagram, like you post a couple things about that. And I have a friend that's really interested in like energy healing. And I am not very well versed in that. I got a tarot reading and last October, and the lady, it was actually quite profound. Like she was like, you definitely were a witch in a past life. And
for sure you were like not just a witch, like a very fashionable, trendy one.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's so funny because when I say that, everyone's like, oh, for sure, you were definitely a witch. Like, even my friends that aren't even into that stuff, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, you, no questions asked. And I'm just like, I didn't ever realize that I gave off such a, like, witchy woman vibe, but, like,
I think it's also like you stand in your, like, your own energy and your own power.
Okay. I'll take, yeah.
Yeah.
I try. We're working on that.
Yeah. No, it's, I could totally say it's a compliment. It's a compliment.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It is interesting because she was like, yeah, you've been through like wars and all this stuff. And I definitely have like certain things where it's like, this trauma didn't come from anything in this life. So why am I so scared of X, Y, and Z? So like, I mean, I don't want to say logically, that's not the right word, but like I can, if I was to channel into that way of thinking, like kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, I'd love to delve into that more. And like I said, I have a friend, Shauna, she's also an editor at Who What Where, but she's really, really into energy healing, and just talking to her about all of that, and like, wow, I want to learn more, but yeah. I'm also like scared because it is kind of like a scary thing to like delve into that and open yourself up to that. Like it's not light stuff, right?
As no, for sure. We don't have to get into it in this conversation, but absolutely invite me. Even if your friend wants to come along, we can just like chat in a separate call about it. With human design, just to maybe ease some nerves around it, it's a resource for anyone that resonates with it. So it's there to help. For me, it showed me my gifts and strengths that were actually innocently I was told was wrong or bad about myself. So like I've been told I'm impulsive my entire life. Like, Kayla, you're up to what? You're very impulsive. I jump here and there and everywhere. When that is actually like a really big gift of mine, is to be super, super impulsive. So past life stuff can be scary and heavy, definitely. Human design, it shows you a new way to experiment with life. And you can go as big or little as you desire, as your nervous system can handle and cue for, you know what I mean? So it's a journey. It's definitely a journey, but it can be really, it can offer a lot of ease in areas of life that we just innocently don't even realize we're operating from a rinse and repeat because that's all we've seen.
No, that totally makes sense. And I think that that's such a powerful thing. It's like, oh, these things that like I were told were like character flaws or like ADD or, you know, it's like, oh, yes. Actually, these are gifts. It's not a disorder or like a, you know, a bad trait, if you will. I think that's like so empowering and, you know, makes it less dark to think about it like that.
Are you a Scorpio?
No, I'm a Gemini. Please don't hate me. I'm a Gemini with anxiety. So it kind of like, you know, mellows out some of the impulsivity, right? Like,
honestly, my wife. No. But there's also beauty in so-called like two-face of like being able to present yourself in the way that you need to represent scouted for your job, and you're able to communicate eloquently. And so we'll totally go into like the woo side on a different conversation, but there's Scorpio in your chart for sure somewhere, and we can chat about that. But I want to circle back and think, okay, what is something you love to do that's not work? And then we can maybe dive into your work journey. But I want to like pick a little bit out of like, what does Mia do when she's not at a brand event or writing or answering emails or all the things?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm really bad at answering emails. So
I don't take it personally. Don't worry.
Thank you. I'd say my biggest hobby is thrifting, and that sounds like a basic thing, but like, but girl, I'm like in the trenches. I go to the Goodwill bins. I don't know if you're familiar with what that is. It's like, it's basically an outlet where all of the items that don't get sold at a retail Goodwill, are literally put into bins in this big warehouse, and people line up, and it's sold by the pound. So it's definitely an adventure and a sport sometimes. Are you familiar with the bins?
Yes, but I haven't gone to one. There's a really good Goodwill just about 5 minutes from where I live in the suburbs of Chicago that I always have good luck. And I'm a huge, I love selling stuff on Poshmark. Like, I mean, you're speaking to the right person. Anything that's not used, it feels like stale energy. There's no story behind it.
Yeah. Do you like estate sales too?
You know, it's so funny you say that. I just for the first time looked up estate sales in Chicago, but I watch a lot of YouTube vloggers that do estate sales, and it just inspires me, and especially me. I would love to start going to one.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I just feel like you'd really like it too. Not necessarily in the spiritual sense, but it is really cool. It's like going into a museum of someone's life. Like, I went to one recently, and the individual who passed was like a psychiatrist in the 60s, and it was just cool to like see all his books. There was like this, I wish I still had it. It was like this 60s board game, and I never played it because it was missing a bunch of parts, but it was like you had a little script to like write the diagnosis. I don't know. It was just so cool just to like see this collection that reflected this person's career and life. And obviously the 60s were a great decade, so you know, it was really cool. But I feel like you really like them, not even to like find cool pieces, but just for like the experience of
story. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, I'll let you know when I go to my first one.
Keep me posted. EstateSales.net is a good one because you can see the photos before going usually, and then you can kind of gauge whether it's worth it or not, because some of them are not great, let's be honest. If the person
Right. Ones with photos and like knowing. Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that thrifting or vintage shopping is going to make its way into like the commerce area?
That's a good question. I have a freelancer working on a piece for me now. The thing that's tricky with like these affiliate supported pieces is like if we're linking to a Poshmark or an eBay or whatever, it's like there's usually only one of that item available. So then it's like out of stock, and then the story becomes really high maintenance because you have to change it. But like, I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a surge in it because I know there's a popular TikToker, Macy, someone, she just wrote a book and you know, it's all over TikTok. Yeah. So I feel like it's inevitable, but we have to find a way for it to be sustainable for editors to like
standpoint.
Yeah, maybe.
If you're driving clicks to a closet, then it has nothing to do with the actual.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Yes. That's a good question.
When I think of like who I am as a consumer, it's not purchasing new stuff, but I know obviously being on the other side of the business that we're in, I haven't seen like a good solution from a vintage standpoint or a thrifting standpoint, but it'll be interesting to see how that evolves.
I completely agree. And I'm actually the same way. Like I don't buy anything new really, unless something I really don't, because first of all, I don't want to pay full price. And second of all, it's just like, I just find better things. And I don't know, I guess I'm spoiled. You thrift a lot and you have a good place that's consistently bringing in good stuff. It's like, well, why would I buy something new that like everyone has? So.
Yeah, it's either that or I rent clothes.
I've been doing that too. I've been doing Nuuly instead of Rent the Runway. Have you tried Nuuly?
I have tried Nuuly. I've done Rent the Runway for like the past 3 years and I'm kind of over it. And I tried Bento.
Oh, what's that?
It's okay. I'll send you the link. It's more edgy streetwear pieces. Like the top is from Bento. BNTO, I think.
Okay.
I will say it took like 2 weeks for it to arrive, which is super annoying.
That's long.
The styles are, the runway is getting a little stale for me. And Nuuly's great. But when I rent, I like to rent like $500 Sherpas. Like I like to rent like quality things that I would never buy myself.
No, that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So I'll send you the link to Bento because it seems new and they might be operating like they're new. But first, once it arrived, I'm very impressed.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, that's true. Because even like Rent the Runway, it's like more contemporary. Like there's not, and the designer pieces, they charge you more for those anyway now. But like there's not really a luxury solution. And yeah, Bento sounds cool because I like some of the streetwear, like Japanese designers. I'll have to check it out. I don't know if that's what it actually is, but
I'll put it your way.
Okay.
Cool. I don't represent them or anything. Don't worry.
I mean, that'd be cool if you did.
I know, right? Should we manifest it? Call me.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you even get into your career as an editor? Did you go to school for journalism?
No. I always, like, writing was always my thing, newspaper, creative writing. I was in school for a long time trying to figure it out, but I ended up getting a degree in art history because I kept changing my mind and I was like, and I do love art and I love history, but you can write about anything you want to through the lens of art, I realized. Like, I got one of my professors to let me write about, like, housing projects and, like, the effects of aesthetics on, like, socioeconomic progression. And so I was just like, oh, I can literally just not make a decision and write about it. I mean, maybe I just had cool professors, but I went to school for a completely useless major. I'm kidding. I loved school. I did take quite a few creative writing classes, but I went to UCSD. They had like an English, like a comparative literature program. No journalism. And so I was like, okay, I'll just do this. I was 25. Well, no, I was 23 when I finally transferred there. And I was like, I just need to get this done. No, I didn't get formally trained in any of that. I mean, I did in like my early college days, but I didn't get a degree in that.
But what was your intro into being an editor?
Yeah, so after I graduated, I worked for a fast fashion company that did private label for like Nordstrom BP, and like really not where I wanted to be. But I was doing their blog and their copywriting, and then being new, I was handling their affiliate, so like on the on the brand side, like right before I left. But I didn't really want to do that. It was just kind of like I had just moved to LA,
needed this, like, a job. 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
Wow. Okay.
Well, yeah. Yep. And yeah, and then I wanted to work in media. I wanted to write, but I didn't really have a portfolio other than just like writing the blog and writing, you know, and like obviously like the articles I wrote in college and things like that. So I interviewed at a job for spy.com, rest in peace, still up, but I don't think they're continuing anymore thanks to the Google algorithm. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, God. Anyway, we can talk about that later, but I didn't get the job, and they called me and said, you can start freelancing for us. And I still had my other job, but I was like, whatever, I really need to like get some bylines. And I was just like, you know, working until 2 a.m. after my other job. And then after 2 weeks, they called and said, we'd love you to come on full time as our staff writer. And for those who don't know, Spy was Penske Media. It was their owned and operated commerce brand. Most of the brands they've acquired, like Rolling Stone, Variety, whatever, but that was like one that they started from the ground up. And and so that was, I didn't know what Spy was at the time. It was really new, but I saw that they also had WWD in the portfolio and Variety, and so I was like, well, let me just get my foot in the door and continue to thrift and sell on Poshmark to support my rent. Yeah. On the side.
Oh my God, I'm gonna have to follow you on Poshmark. I didn't know you were on there.
I don't really sell that much anymore, but for a while, like, yeah, I was in those bins and just flipping clothes. But this is like before. Yeah, this was before there was so many, and they're great content creators on YouTube, like telling everyone that all these resellers are getting their clothes at the bins. So, you know, now everyone knows our secrets and it's a little more competitive. But yeah, so long story long, I just was applying left and right, and finally. Yeah. Got my foot in the door, and
you've been at the Daily Beast for 4 years,
3 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was at Penske for almost 5 years. So after they bought She Media, which is She Knows, Stylecaster at the time, Vlogger. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. So they transitioned me from Spy to Stylecaster to help with their like shopping vertical. Yeah. Perfect. And then, so I left in 2021. And then I've been at the Daily Beast ever since.
Yeah. Like, very small team at the Daily Beast, too.
Right now, it's just me for Scouted. So that's fun.
That's what I mean. So if you're talking about not answering inboxes, that's, or emails, that is okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's tough right now. And the Beast has been through a lot of change this year. We have new leadership. They're incredible. It's all good, but a lot of restructuring. And I lost someone that was doing like the reporting business side of things. So I'm kind of handling that and editorial. So not complaining, you know, not complaining. I'm happy to have my job still. And I will say I really do enjoy the analytics side. I think that's why I'm drawn to commerce. Like I love seeing the reporting. I know you're the same way. I think it's so fun. So I'm not saying I don't mind or that I hate that side. It's just, it leaves less time for, you know, the other aspects of my job.
Yeah. It helps you do your job better, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Have a holistic picture. What would you say is like the, okay, actually, you know what, let's dive right into the Google algorithm discussion, because I was going to ask, like, how has your job changed the most? But I feel like that, like, Google is kind of right, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, because I will say, like, for the Daily Beast, like, the main things that the publication is known for, politics, pop culture, crime, etc., like, they do get a lot of traffic from organic, but a lot of the content is paywalled, so we're really lucky that, like, we have a really loyal audience that, like, pays for that content. Scouted, which is, like I said, our shopping lifestyle section, is not paywalled, so I, you know, try to optimize everything for SEO as much as possible. But yeah, this recent algorithm change has really been tough, because I'm seeing, and maybe you can help me understand some of this, it's like Reddit, Quora is ranking above, you know, really established publications and outlets. And it's just like, that's everything I learned about SEO was like, oh, we don't trust these random sources that are just people, like, they need to, it's based on being an authority. And I mean, then there's like the AI thing, so much to talk about, but
yeah,
I think it's really hurting a lot of people. And the biggest way I've seen it impact our site, and I anecdotally have heard this from other editors, is like these roundups that are not so niche. So like, I don't know, like the best cashmere sweaters or the best hair dryers, like those longer listicles are really not doing so well. And so I've never really been a huge fan of those, just because like Wirecutter's gonna cover that. Like, I'm not gonna ever compete with those kind of publications, and rightfully so. So my approach has always been to be like, to do more like, are people searching, like, for instance, Newly versus Rent the Runway? And like, how can I kind of like get those like shorter, I don't know, short tail keywords that are like not as competitive? But even still, it's tough for that, because
AI is going to answer.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. The zero click answers. That's like a massive update. It's really quite crazy.
It's insane. And like, yeah, it's so funny, because I talked to my dad about AI, not to like switch gears, but it's kind of hand in hand with the algorithm discussion. But I'm like, it's, you know, it's taking my job. And like, in some ways, I mean, it hasn't yet, thank God. But he's like, well, Mia, like, people said that about the internet in the 80s and 90s and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess. But it's like you go out on the road and there's, you know, there's cars that don't have a human driver in them. So it seems like this one's hitting hard.
It's almost go for it.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, I know there's pros to it, of course, but scary.
Yeah. I know, when I think of like a Rent the Runway versus, it's a perfect example. The AI provides, I think what it provides is like the initial facts of like price, da 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 da. But it's like, it's really requiring you guys, which is so like, to put so much more into the content that you're developing. That's like a personal perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To really have it stand out. I have a feeling that Reddit is not going to be as prominent as it is right now. I think it just public, and there's a lot of like investment backing. I don't know a ton, but from I think Reddit's prioritized because it's users communicating with users. It's like that community aspect to it. But on the publishing side, I can only imagine the pressure of trying to rank within the first page, and that first half of the page is already taken up and filled.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so yeah, if does so okay. Does it help if like partners, like PR partners, share like a niche angle, or are you like, I know my niche angles, I need to figure out how to fit it in that area? Like, where do PR people help you versus just fill in your angle?
Yeah, I think it's never going to hurt to, at least for me personally, to share these angles. Like, I think publicists are really smart, creative, great writers. And so I think you do a great job, like even like with keywords and, you know, all of that. It's like, that's not going to hurt, because it's like, oh, you're actually helping me do my job. And I think we've talked about this before, but like, if you have resources that I don't have access to, like SEMrush or something like that, and you're sharing like, these keywords are getting this, you know, doing these numbers, it's like, that's amazing, because I didn't know that. And like, that's super helpful. Not to say that like, oh, you need to do that. Absolutely not. But I think the more specific and more ideas you can help give them, like if they already have an idea, it doesn't matter. But if they don't, it might help them be like, oh, I never thought about it like that. Maybe I should cover this brand, or, you know, I didn't know about that trend going on. Like, yeah, that happens all the time. I learn so much from you guys, really.
That's really good to know. Gosh, do you have Keyword Finder or some, you don't have either of those?
No.
Oh my gosh. If you send me, if you're ever wanting to use it, just email me. but okay. I feel like when you started at the Daily Beast, you were not going to live brand events. And now like, I just see you traveling all the, like it feels like you're traveling so much more.
Yes.
How I'm assuming, yes, that helps like develop really personalized, authentic content on the brand.
Yes.
What's like a scenario of someone that does it well, or like it's a waste of your time if you do it this way?
Yeah, I think
personal preference. I'm really just asking from a personal preference standpoint too.
I think it is really helpful. Like for instance, I went on a press trip with this luggage brand. It was tons of luggage brands. It's a great brand. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, like they're beautiful, whatever. Like, of course we'll consider them for coverage or whatever. But then when we were on the trip, this brand did such an amazing job of explaining like the background and the story behind it, and why they decided to launch a luggage brand in a market that's already like pretty saturated, and like their connection to travel, and like it was in Hawaii, and they were working with local people, and you know, talking about extractive tourism and how that played into like their ethos and the charitable components of their story. And so I think when a brand can really hone in on those experiences and teach the writers and the editors on these trips, it's like, this is why we're different.
Yeah.
That is so helpful, because honestly, if I didn't go on that trip, the story that I wrote about them wouldn't have been as impactful, because I wouldn't have had the story behind it. I wouldn't have like seen the passion firsthand. So that's one example. I think, you know, it's always good to do events for sure, but it's tough because when you're at like a stop by kind of cocktail hour or whatever, you're not learning as much about the brand. And obviously if it's someone that, you know, we already know, whatever, that's fine. But I think there's less opportunity in those events to learn about the founder, learn about the story, learn about what makes this drop unique. You know, a lot of times the publicists are spread so thin, just trying to make sure that the event goes well, of course, right. Like that is so hard. But there's not like, they don't have time to like talk to the editors. They don't have, you know, and sometimes the founder's there and, you know, the publicists aren't able to kind of like coach the, because you know how founders can sometimes be so passionate about their product and publicists do such a great job of being like, well, here's how we kind of want to angle it and package it to this editor. There's a little bit of a disconnect, which can be helpful. But yeah, I think, I don't know. It's tough because sometimes I'm like, damn, they must have spent so much money on this event. And like, sure, like all the editors probably posted to stories and whatever, but like, I feel bad if they didn't get any coverage, you know, because there's only so much you can really learn at an hour event. So,
what I see is like kind of the full immersive events of like take you out of your crazy day to day and invest a little bit more in like an experience that is truly authentic versus spending money on just trying to get everyone in the door at the same, you know, like FaceTime.
Yeah.
That makes sense that would work so much better and be much more vulnerable because you're feeling like the authentic energy of the brand and the experience.
Yeah.
If someone's like wanting you to get on a plane and go somewhere, how much time do they need to give you for you to confirm?
Yeah. So like for a press trip, I mean, it's tough because it's like, it's just me. And I think, you know, every outlet and team kind of has their own way of handling that. Like I can't really go on that many because I have to work. And sometimes it depends if like the, you know, sometimes the itinerary is so jam packed that like you couldn't even publish a story. But like, I mean, I've seen some editors like publish the story from the car. So, you know, everyone's different, but like I tend to need a little bit more time just because I don't have a lot of resources on my team. Was that your question?
Oh, totally. I mean,
I would think a month's notice is good.
Yeah, perfect.
That's just me personally.
Yeah, no. And my favorite thing is talking with, like, that is your personal way of doing it. And that's what feels best for you. And that's how you do it then, you know? I think how we work is completely unique to the individual.
Yeah.
What we get done and the end goal of our work can be the same and the same goal and the same standard, but some people do it in the car. You like to take, like, you like some space and like dedicated time, you know, so that totally makes sense. What is like your daily or morning routine to avoid burnout?
I'll keep you posted.
The laugh is what gets me.
I've really been trying this year to really make time for myself because at the end of the day, it's like I can only do so much, and me like cramming extra work in for an extra hour, staying up late working on a story, like it's really not going to make that much of a difference in terms of like how scouted or the article does. But setting boundaries, especially working from home, is definitely a big challenge. And I like working from home. I'm not saying it's hard or anything, but it comes with its unique sets of challenges because look, sometimes I'm not going to lie, there is no morning routine. I wake up, I grab my laptop and then I'm like on and you know, but I've been trying not to do that. I've been trying to at least have like an hour to myself so I can like cook breakfast and like take my animals out, like do my skincare routine. And I think that's really important because otherwise it just feels like I'm sleeping in my office, not literally, but you know what I mean? It's like there's no like physical separation of spaces. So it's like, I don't know. I will not work from bed unless I'm sick, but I know sometimes
I don't work from bed either.
Yeah. It's just, I have to like physically remove myself to my little area so that there's kind of, I don't know. It's like, it's a mental thing. I think you get it, but yeah, I usually wake up and have coffee first thing. And I've been trying to eat breakfast. It's like easy for me to just like wait until 12 to eat, but I'm like everyone else trying to get more protein and And I'm just like, I feel better. It's like, they can wait. Like, they can wait.
Oh,
I wanted breaking news. Like, no one's going to die if I, like, take a walk and I'm not on, like, right away. So
yeah.
That's been a work in progress for me, but that's you know, what I aim to do. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah. That's a very, very healthy mindset. I always say it's ER, not ER. Like,
yeah.
I think a lot of people say that, but if they live by it, that's a whole nother story.
What is your morning routine? Because you work from home too, right?
I do. Yeah. I wake up around 6-ish, 6, 6:30. My brain is
early bird.
Yes, my brain is very clear in the morning. Okay. Like, I have a client that's based in Europe, and for their status calls at like 8 or 9 in the morning, I'll literally like start prepping at like 6 a.m.
Oh, wow.
But anywhere between 6 and 7, I would say I'm definitely up by 7. And my wife loves to sleep in, so I handle the 2 corgis in the morning. And I have to get dressed and put makeup on every day. Like, that's kind of like my thing.
Yeah.
Even if it's like minimal makeup, but like a red lip or like my hair, like it just has to be some sort of like put togetherness.
I have to say too, like, your brows are just, oh my, your brows. I don't know. Like, maybe we can have a separate session where you talk about your brows, because I try to do mine like yours today. Do you get them laminated?
No. Here, maybe I'll do like a little close up.
They're so good.
So, have you heard of the brand Babebrow?
No.
Okay. This is worth it. I'm going to go grab it. It's right.
Okay.
Okay. So, I found Babebrow, and I think they're sold on, is it Zara? Not Zara. But they're not sold everywhere. And it looks like this.
Okay.
And it's literally, it's also growth serum, but it's like a consistency. Oh my gosh, literally Babebrow, hire me too.
Oh my gosh, yeah, why, like, you should definitely prep them, for sure.
Yeah, but, like, it literally gives, like, I literally just brush up.
Oh my god, that's so good. And it doesn't look crunchy either, because some of them look crunchy.
No, it's not crunchy. It has the growth serum built into it, so, like, the bald spots right here have been growing in. Yeah, I mean, I have brows were like a traumatic thing for me as a child, because I would get them waxed super thin and I was on acne medication, so it would scar. So it took forever to grow back. But my brows are the number one thing that I get compliments on, and people think that I have them microbladed or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Laminated. And it's like, nope, just favor out and ignore this.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, I completely interrupted your routine, but I just had to ask because I love your brows. And
thank you.
Anyway, but you were saying the makeup helps you, even if it's just a little bit, helps you feel like put together. That's such a great tip. Yes. I feel like that would help me a lot.
It does. And it doesn't have to be a lot. I mean, it's also just kind of like a meditative, like I turn something on YouTube and I watch, or maybe I'm feeling chatty that day and I just feel like talking.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a way to start with like a little self-love.
I love that. Yeah. Maybe I'll start doing that myself. I'm definitely going to start doing the Babebrow.
Oh, yes.
They need to hire you. They need to hire you.
Literally, I get so many questions. I've led so many people over to them.
You at least need like a affiliate link of your own so you can keep getting some commission.
I do have an affiliate link on Skimlinks, but it's like, I could sell it to editors though, because I'm like a walking example of them.
Truly, truly.
Yeah. Well, all maybe right,
we'll manifest that too. Yep.
Yeah. I love this so much. Okay. What? Let me just, I like wrote some questions down because I'm just going to get so distracted. Ooh. What would you think is like your like specialty?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say, I do mostly like scouted covers, a bunch of different things, but I usually tend to gravitate towards like wellness and beauty. Obviously I'll write about anything that's just something that usually ends up happening. But I think like my perspective is like, I'm not scared to write about like the weirder stuff. Like now mm-hmm. everyone's written about skin tags, but girl, let me tell you, back in the day in like 2016,
what's that?
Skin tags are like little chunks of skin. They're almost like warts, but it's literally just like, it almost looks like a nipple, but I don't know. You're gonna have to Google it.
No, that's so interesting.
But like that, or like butt acne, like those kinds of things. I mean, again, like thinking about what people are searching for was always like the angle, but I guess I would say like less sexy approaches to like beauty and wellness. Like I have hyperhidrosis, so sweaty hands all the time.
You mean like the real stuff, like what us real people actually go through?
Yeah. And like less, you know, I don't know. I'm also like, I do like reading about like the sciencey parts of it. Like my dad's a scientist. And so I guess I kind of like that aspect of it too. But yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid to talk about some of the weirder stuff and like admit. I don't know.
I need to be reminded of that about you, because that's a really, really good thing to remember of like, don't send me a basic shit.
Send it. I mean, it's not like I don't write about basic shit, but like, I'm not, I think it just like, and it's like easier for me to write too. And it's just like, you know, I like to like infuse a little bit of like humor when I can, because with commerce, it's just, especially with the listicles, it's like, well, here are the best blah blah blah, and it's like, yeah, it's like really good to read, but I try to make it funny. I don't know. So it's, yeah, it, I'm not afraid to talk about like odors and like weird things like that. I haven't really done that in a while, but that's what came up first to mind. And then like randomly, like saunas, like, I don't know when I became an expert in sauna blankets, but I guess it's just cause I love them so much. And now I'm just like, oh, sauna this, sauna that. And it's like, I don't know. I cover a lot of sauna.
I wonder if your hot food digestion and human design, that's very niche thing in your chart, but that would just be like, yeah. Anyway, we'll see. We'll draw the connection if that's it. But that's interesting.
Can we like schedule a second follow up with to talk about just this? I feel like we're gonna need a beauty one. We're gonna need one an hour just for your brows, day brow, sponsored.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, yes. I'm the one that's getting us off track. But yeah, no. To end on that, I would say like, I don't know. How do I articulate that? Like, just not a weird approach to beauty, but like a more.
It's not like sexy. Like it's real stuff. I think it's just a real approach to beauty. Like if you don't think you have butt zits, you're not looking at your butt close enough.
Yeah. And like, that's fine. I mean, I don't always want to look at my butt.
That's so
I get it, but now I kind of am like, wow, I haven't actually covered anything like that in a while. So that's a good reminder that that is something that I at least get excited about.
For sure. What is like the most niche gift guide that you've written lately?
Gift guide?
Or just roundup, whatever. Are you even working on gift guides right now?
Oh my God. I mean, I should be. No, not really.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better that you're not.
No, I mean, I should be though, because now it's like, I'm seeing like pitches and I'm just like, oh my God, like it's almost November, but yeah. So I need to start doing that. I used to have this like ongoing series of the Daily Beast and it did well. Like, I don't know why I stopped this note to self, but it was like the craziest shit we saw on Amazon this month. Wow. And, wow. It did well because this may or may not be a surprise, but our audience is like more left-leaning. And so, you know, I don't even know if I should be saying this, but like one of our like top performers from that era was like Trump toilet paper. Just like finding these like really crazy things. Like at the time, I forgot what it was, but there was like this little like Vladimir Putin magnet, and it was like him and a compromising position. It's like weird, and it wasn't all political, by the way. Like there was like, I don't know, like make you shit cereal, and that was like literally the title. It was like just like the weirdest stuff, and it was so fun to like source the products for, and like,
well, I feel it's like white elephant. It's perfect for white elephant too. Like people are looking for that crazy shit. Totally.
Yes, that's such a good point to tie in for sure. But yeah, it was really fun. And I feel like BuzzFeed used to do something similar to that. But yeah, and then I was gonna like do that for Etsy too. And I don't remember why I stopped doing these. I mean, I think like Amazon doesn't give us a great commission, to be completely honest. So there's that. But like, I don't know. They're so fun to read. I think. It's bad. No, I'll tell you, I don't care. Etsy, hello, I'd love to link to you more. Because you have political merch that our readers really like, but it's like 2%. At other outlets that I've worked for in the past, it was more. So maybe I just need to. Here's the thing, it's like I never had to negotiate with the like affiliate rates, and now that the person that was doing that is gone, I have to do that. And I'm like, I kind of forget. But Etsy's not good either. So I'm just like, damn, those are like really the two that like would have these like weird products. So I don't know.
I think it's probably a big hassle for you, what I'm learning, but have you explored Levanta at all?
Yes. I'm really glad you brought that up because I know you have some clients. I'm a huge fan of Levanta. I love Levanta. It is literally, I would not be able to link to Amazon because whatever, I don't really care. They basically broke up with us. Like we used to have like, okay rates, whatever, like not great. They really did. It was so funny. Yeah. So now we have like a rate of like 1%, and it's just like, it just sucks because everyone, you know, Amazon converts. It's like, I'm not like ethically in love with everything Amazon does, but like, hey, I need dog food overnight, right? So it's tough. But yeah, when my other business counterpart left, I was like, well, what are we going to do? Cause it was before the original summer Prime Day, June. And then I was like, oh, what's this thing that we're sitting on here? It was Levanta. And I was like, oh my God, this is so great, because from what I understand, it's the brands that are able to control the amount of commission that they're giving to a publisher. Is that right?
Yep. And Amazon refunds brands 10%.
Oh.
So they incentivize brands to invest in content that is directed to their shop. So if I'm offering you 20%, I'm getting refunded 10%.
Oh, so it's really a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and I believe that even if you get paid both what the brand is paying you and what Amazon pays you. So you don't have to choose between one or the other.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, because I like never took a call with them. This was something that like my the business counterpart was handling, and then I was just like, he's gone, I better just try this. And I never really understood how it worked, but I'm seeing results, so I just keep going for it. But yeah, if you want to send me a list, I'm sure you already have, and it's lingering in my inbox of all the brands of yours on Levanta. I will make sure that it's good to go, because I could wax poetic about Levanta all day. It's really helped me be able to like cover Prime Day, and you know, because like at 1%, it's like I'm losing money like dedicating all this content. And so
it's crazy. Yeah. If you need an introduction to someone that I find really helpful, let me know too. Okay. I believe for everyone that I work with, we're connected on the Daily Beast. So no worries on that, but I'll double check.
Okay.
But that makes me happy to hear, because I've been kind of like pro Levanta since February, but it's been kind of a case by case if publishers are taking it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it is kind of like one more platform to deal with, and you know, totally. It's like the opposite of skim links. It's like a little more manual. I mean, for me, like we don't really use the sub networks, skim links, big links, because we'd rather partner direct. And, but I mean, I would think that any resistance would be just because it's more work to create the link, but I don't really.
I think that's exactly what it is. It's just a little bit more work, and it might be like a link on the SKU level too, versus the brand level.
Oh, that makes sense.
Correct me. I'm not on the opposite end, so that might not be correct, but if you know that the brand or the product does convert for your readers, it's like a no-brainer.
Yes.
You know?
100%.
Yeah.
And it's better.
Yeah. Especially with a small team too.
Yes. And I mean, it's like I'm literally like losing money if I just link to Amazon Associates, but it's not valuable for my reader to not link to Amazon, right? Because like it is convenient. They have their credit card saved. So it's like you're always thinking about editorial and like, you know, making sure your readers are experiencing like a valuable, they're learning something and it's helpful, but then also like making money. So there's a lot at play there, which obviously you wonder.
No, it's a lot of hats to wear. It's a ton of hats to wear. Is there anything else about life or work that we haven't covered? Because we're going to have a round two, which is, that's where we're going to dive into other topics. But yes. I want to be mindful of your time, because it is wild, wild, wild west right now.
Yeah, no, I'd love to do a round two. This was so fun. I am like, it's so fun for me. Like, I really would love to do this again. I don't like work in an office and see people. So like, I can't tell you how much I enjoy doing this. So also like, if the audio was weird, let me know. And we can always, I will make sure I have headphones and not weird lighting. Like, let me know if you need to like, redo this or whatever, but
we'll be fine on Google Meet. It's totally okay. Let me know if you like round two with like us two, or if you want to like invite like your friend who likes that. It is what it is. Like, my purpose for this was I would have awesome conversations with humans that I think are amazing and like they're expansive for either me or someone that would listen to it. And so I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna start sharing and recording and intentionally share conversations that I have with really impressive humans that I respect.
I love that. I mean, it makes sense. Like, you need a podcast. Like, it's just a no-brainer for you to have a podcast. Like, also, where can I find this podcast?
It's not published yet. So I'm recording.
That's what I thought.
I'm recording season one, and they'll hopefully be published by the new year. And it has such a cool, diverse group of humans, like actor, artist, entrepreneurs, editor, like just so fucking cool.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, that makes me feel better because I was looking for it and I was like, oh, she probably hasn't launched it yet. I have no clue how podcasts work. I'm like, do they do, like, clearly. But now I know I need headphones, so I'm so sorry about that. I think that we're the same age, but true, like, I'm actually, like, 84 and not 34.
It's all good. So, it's all good.
Yeah. I'll be the one old-
Yeah, I have no idea what I was doing either. The second something goes wrong, I'm like, okay, let's go over to Google Meets.
I mean, I love that Google Meet is like that safe security blanket for us and we have it.
It is.
Love it. Yeah.
It is. Oh my goodness. Okay, well, send me your address because I'm going to gift you a bay brow because we need to get that on your eyebrows as a thank you for coming on here.
Oh my God, you do not have to do that. But really, can they at least sponsor you? I mean, you don't have to do anything. You're a walking billboard for this brand. Like,
if honestly, if it's meant to happen, it will happen. Like, watch, someone will be in your inbox for Babe Brow, and you can just connect them with me then.
I will. Maybe they could sponsor season two, right?
Maybe, yeah.
That's my manager mind
working. That's a really good idea, yeah. That's a really good idea. Not us, like, collaborating on ideas. Okay, beautiful. I'm going to put that up there.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. This just, like, lifted up my day. And
oh, my God, me too. Let's please do this again. This was so much fun. I need to get out more.
Same, seriously. Okay, we'll talk soon. And have a good rest of your day, okay?
All right, bye.
Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have the most beautiful day.